Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building an advanced respace in Ableton Live 12 for jungle and old school DNB, but with a modern punch and a vintage soul. And right away, let's clear up the big myth. A great res is not just two detuned saws. That's the starting point, not the finish line. What really makes this sound work in drum and bass is the balance between sub weight, mid-range movement, transient punch, and a controlled amount of grime. You want the bass to hit hard, speak rhythmically, and still leave room for the breakbeat to breathe. If the sound is too clean, it disappears. If it's too wide, too messy, or too harmonically busy, it will swallow the kick and sare pocket. So our job here is not just sound design, it's mix design. We're going to build this as a three-layer instrument rack inside Ableton. Think of it as a system, not a single patch. One layer will handle the sub, one layer will handle the core res movement, and one layer will add grit, edge, and that slightly worn vintage attitude. That separation is what gives you control, and control is everything in fast, low-end teddy music like jungle and DNB. Create a new MIDI track and drop in an instrument rack. Inside that rack, set up three chains and name them clearly, sub, core, and grit. This is a simple organizational move, but it makes the whole process way easier to mix and automate later. Then create four macros. Use macro 1 for sublevel, macro 2 for detune or movement, macro 3 for dirt, and macro 4 for width and bite. Those macros are going to become your performance controls, so you can open the sound up for transitions, tighten it for verses, and keep the whole thing moving without constantly diving into device parameters. Let's start with the sub, because the sub is the foundation. On the sub chain, load operator. Keep it brutally simple. Use a single sine wave on oscillator A, and turn off everything else you don't need. Set the octave low, around -1 or -2 depending on the key and the track. The exact octave will depend on the musical context, but the main goal is this. The sub should feel solid, not floppy, and it should lock to the kick and break without muddying the groove. Shape the amp envelope so it's tight but not clicky. Attack should be very fast, around 0 to 5 milliseconds. Decay can sit somewhere in the 150 to 300 millisecond range, depending on how staccato you want the line. Sustain should feel low and release should stay short, maybe 60 to 120 milliseconds. You're aiming for a bass that reads clearly under chopped breaks, not a bass that rings on forever and smears the rhythm. After operator, add saturator. Keep it subtle. Drive around 1 to 3 dB is usually enough. Turn soft clip on, then match the output so you're hearing tone, not just loudness. This little bit of saturation adds harmonics that help the sub translate on smaller systems, but don't overdo it. In DNB, the sub should feel like pressure, not fuzz. Now move to the core chain. This is where the classic res movement lives. Load Waveatable or analog. Waveatable gives you a lot of precise control, so that's a strong choice here. Set up two saw oscillators and detune them just a little, somewhere in the range of 5 to 18 cents. That's enough to create motion without making the note unstable. Start with a small amount of unison, maybe two voices. If the sound needs more width later, you can increase it carefully, but resist the urge to make it huge immediately. The more voices you add, the easier it is for the patch to get cloudy or facey in mono. For bass in drum and bass, focus first on focus. Then add size. Use the filter section to shape the character. A low-pass filter somewhere between 120 and 300 Hz gives you a darker, tighter res. If you want more aggression, you can open it up higher, maybe toward 800 Hz, but remember that more openness means more mid-range content, and that can crowd the snare and break if you're not careful. Add a little filter drive if the synth starts to feel too polite. If you want extra motion, add auto filter after the synth. Keep the movement subtle. Use a sync DLFO at 1/8, 1/8T, or 1/4 depending on the groove. The idea is not to wobble like a dubstep bass. The idea is to make the patch feel alive, a little restless, a little human. Small amounts of movement go a long way here. And this is a big one. Introduce a bit of instability. Vintage soul often comes from small imperfections. Slight oscillator drift, tiny pitch variation, a little random phase behavior, or slightly asymmetric modulation can make the patch feel more sampled and less sterile. That little bit of imperfection is part of the character. Now let's build the grit chain. This layer is not for sub, it's for attitude. It should help the bass cut through on laptop speakers, on club systems, and in the mix around the breakbeat. You can duplicate the core oscillator idea here, or use a brighter waveform source if you want more edge. Then process it harder. A good starting chain is Waveatable or analog, then amp or overdrive, then saturator, then a Q8, and if you want a rougher texture, maybe a little redux. Keep the distortion focused on the mids and upper mids. Use a Q8 to high pass aggressively, somewhere around 150 to 300 Hz, so this layer doesn't fight the sub or the lower part of the core. That's the key to clean heaviness. Distort the information that needs character, not the information that needs foundation. If you want this to feel more old school, let this chain be a little nasal, a little rough, maybe even slightly compressed and crunchy. If you're leaning more toward modern dark DNB, keep the grit more controlled and use it for bark rather than fizz. The goal is always the same, a layer that sounds like it's been pushed through a worn desk, an old sampler, or a tape era chain, but without turning the whole patch into digital mush. At this point, we've got our three spectral jobs covered. The sub gives us weight. The core gives us movement and body. The grit gives us edge and translation. That's the first advanced mindset shift here. Think in roles, not just layers. If two layers are both trying to own the same frequency area, the patch gets thick but unfocused. Each layer has to know its job. Now let's make the patch feel like it actually belongs in a DNB groove. The next step is note shape. In drum and bass, a reese can fail simply because it behaves like a sustained synth instead of a rhythm instrument. That's a mistake. This kind of bass has to breathe with the break. So keep the attack fast, and shorten the notes enough that the groove has space. Use slightly clipped releases for stabs, and let longer notes only happen when you really want tension. In your MIDI clip, start simple. Program short accented notes on offbeats or around the snare gaps. Leave space for the break to speak. A classic jungle phrase might hit on the one answer after the snare, then leave a bar open or partially open before coming back with a variation. A strong pattern is call and response. Let the drums ask the question and let the bass answer. That approach is hugely effective in jungle because the break often carries the identity of the track. The bass should dance with it, not sit on top of it like a pad. Also pay attention to note choice. This is one of those details people overlook. A reese on F or F sharp can feel very different from one on A or C, especially when you consider kick tuning and the tonal content of the break. So don't just audition the sound in isolation. Recheck the bass key against the drums before you lock the patch in. Next, stereo discipline. This matters a lot. Reese sounds can fall apart if the stereo image is uncontrolled, and in DNB the low end absolutely has to stay mono compatible. Keep the sub chain mono. Don't widen the low end. If you need stereo, apply it only to the core and grit layers, and preferably only above the fundamental area. Use utility on the sub chain if needed and set width to zero, or simply keep the patch mono by design. On the wider chains, use a Q8 to high pass them so the stereo information sits higher up. That way, the low frequencies stay centered while the upper harmonics give you movement and size. Always check the whole thing in mono. If the bass disappears, hollows out, or suddenly sounds thin, the detune or width is too extreme. Reduce it and tighten the phase behavior. This is one of the most important mix habits in this genre. Your bass has to survive mono and still feel strong. If it does, you're in the right zone. Now route the whole rack to a dedicated bass bus. This is where we glue the layers together without flattening the life out of them. On the bus, use a Q8 first if you need it. You might cut a little around 200 to 400 Hz if the bass is clouding the snare body, or dip a harsh area around 2 to 5 kHz if the grit is getting sharp. But be careful not to over-EQ the personality away. Then add glue compressor with a light touch. Ratio around 2:1 or 4:1 is enough. Attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds helps preserve the punch. Release can be auto or a short value around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. You're only looking for maybe 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. Just enough to make the layers feel like one instrument. If needed, add a little saturator or drum bus, but use those sparingly. Drum bus can add density and snap, but in DNB the kick and bass relationship can get messy very fast. The bus should unite the sound, not crush it. Now let's talk automation, because a premium DNB bassline is never static. You want movement across the arrangement. Automate detune on the core chain for build and drop contrast. Automate filter cutoff so it opens slightly into important hits. Automate dirt so the transitions feel more alive. Automate width so fills feel bigger and the main groove stays focused. These tiny changes make the bass feel like it's performing, not looping. A classic jungle move is to keep the bass restrained for most of the phrase, then let it open up in the final bar before the next section. That creates tension, without needing a huge riser or some overblown effects chain. It's simple, musical, and very effective. Now, always judge the bass against the actual break. Don't mix the sound in isolation. Bring in an amen loop or a tight roller break and listen carefully. Does the bass mask the snare body? Does the sob fight the kick tail? Does the reese bury the ghost notes and hats? Does the groove still feel forward when the bass sustains? Those are the questions that matter. If the kick needs a little more room, use subtle sidechain compression on the bass bus. Keep the release short and the pumping minimal. You want clarity, not EDM-style breathing. And if the bass feels too constant, fix the MIDI rhythm before you reach for more compression. Usually the arrangement is the real solution. Here's another advanced move. Once the patch feels close, resample it. Freeze the bass line to audio on a new track. This gives you waveform control, easier editing, and a more sample jungle mindset. It also lets you trim note starts, adjust tails, and do small fades so the groove gets tighter. Resampling makes the bass behave more like a record element than a live preset, which fits the aesthetic perfectly.